Yes, dude, that was critical. Okay, awesome. Very cool. Okay, so we did it. We got out of the house. We've already won. This is already a victory. I was telling Liz, it'll sound silly, but it really comes from the heart. I felt like it was like my birthday, like I was coming to my birthday party, coming to this thing, because I'm so excited to share this with you. It's with my line of work, the majority of the people I work with are online, and you can just like zoom your eyeballs out. So to be in the actual room with other people, it means so much. And it's really encouraging this whole series that got started. I don't know whose idea it originally was, but shout out to Father Guy. And I was talking with Liz. We were only here for about 1 or 2 years. Liz helped on the Women of St. John's board for a year. And Susanna was on there. And Susanna, again, is helping organize this. And that's not only says something about you, but it says a very particular set of things about you and how much you care for St. John. So thank you for everything that you do behind the scenes. Okay, so we've got a handout here. You do want this. If you don't have one, there's a pile back there. Susanna's got them. And we have pre-sharpened pencils. Ticonderoga. We're living it up tonight, okay? We are living it up. You get to keep that, by the way. And it's a freebie. So, yep. If any of them roll off the desk, I don't know what's happening. So there's gaps in here. This is not like the printer didn't get messed up. This is a way for you to touch and connect with what we're going to be going through tonight. And I'm going to give myself... Okay, cool. Sweet. Yeah, so we're looking at 15. Throughout the time, we'll get to places in here where you want to... Yes?
The microphone only picks you up when you're standing in front of it.
Are you talking about this microphone?
No, that microphone.
Where does this microphone go? Like, into the room?
Yeah.
Oh, can I just take it out? Oh, sweet. Okay. Okay. Great. Now you can hear me. Okay. Great. Awesome. Yes. So we're striking a balance. We're not just filling in the blank, but we've got some blanks to fill in so it doesn't feel like a blank slate. There's a couple goals for tonight. There's three goals. Goal number one. We want to understand what mindset is. There we go. That's the first film of Wayne. We want to understand what mindset is. I mean, you guys are here, so the question doesn't really apply, but I was going to say raise your hand if you're interested in mindset. I hope everyone's hand is up or you're at the wrong talk. The thing is, if you Google mindset, you're going to get like 15 plus different definitions, and all of them are very technical, often convoluted, and don't really give you a sense of like, well, what can I actually do about this? How can I actually develop it? Or like, is it a thing I can develop? You're going to get the most simple and practical definition of mindset. We're taking a scenic route there. So it's going to be one of the last things we do, but everything that we do tonight builds up to that definition. Part of what's going to make the understanding stick is that you are, this is fill in the blank number two, you're going to feel what mindset is. A close friend of mine likes to say, thinking is believing, feeling is knowing. So we won't just have like a dictionary and we'll flip it open and see a set of words, but we'll actually have experiences that allow us to feel what mindset is before we ever get to the actual definition of it. And you're going to do that through, this is fill in the blank number three, you're going to feel it through exercises. So these workshops are fun. And part of the reason why they're fun is they're unpredictable. Part of them is unpredictable. We will play at least one exercise. We might do two, depending on how things flow. All right. You are last goal. We are going to learn about four word patterns. And these patterns, they're not the only patterns of words, but they're a great place to start. And they affect a whole host of things, including the things that you see there on your handout. All right. With me so far, we've got three goals. Understand what mindset is, feel it in our bones, and get an understanding of four kinds of word patterns that are going to be related to our definition of mindset. All right, there's a couple of rules of engagement. This is a multiple choice. Lisa's laughing at me because I hate fill in the blank in multiple choice. So, but we're doing it because it actually is fitting, okay? Emotions are for tonight. One of these three. They're either unsafe, as in like if someone gets emotional, everyone should start to panic and you should start to be like, oh crap, are we losing control of the workshop? And was that okay to do that? Or they're welcome. Or they're required. We need them. And if you don't have some sort of strong, you know, emotional movement tonight, something's wrong with you. I kind of given the answer away. And yes, the answer is B. So you can circle that. They're welcome. Okay. The name's kind of weird because you think like mindset, it's all just like in the head. But your mindset is very, there's a direct line, so to say, between your mindset and your heart. So as you start to you test some of these things out and play with them, it's very normal for some energy to move, otherwise known as emotions. Okay? So it's all good in the hood. Here's one reason why it's all good in the hood. Because we're going to be learning about breathing. This is rule number two. You're going to regularly, once we get into the exercises, you're going to hear a prompt, which is me saying, breathe in, breathe out. Breathing, blank and blank. Breathing low and slow. That's a fun jingle to make it easy. Breathing low and slow helps keep the mind, here's your next blank, open and flexible. Open and flexible. The fancy way to say that is it helps facilitate a parasympathetic state. So you can think of what do they like to call it? Rest and digest. There's another version of that. It's the opposite of fight and flight. But honestly, those terms might answer it for you. They're not my favorite set of terms. The best way that I like to think about it is when you are breathing regularly, you have more access to your creative faculties. Your field of vision is broader. Okay, you can understand that better by thinking of the reverse. Whenever you're stressed out or you're in a rush or you're breathing very shallow, even if you're just doing some sort of exercise, we've got Joe McFadden, who's a parishioner here. He runs the CrossFit gym. Like in the middle of a CrossFit workout, you're not really thinking of a bunch of different things. You're zoned in because you're breathing a lot, okay? So part of what blocks someone from having a breakthrough in terms of their own mindset or their relation to emotions is if they're always in an upregulated state. If they're in an upregulated state, they are in a stance like a judging stance or like an attack stance, okay? Their field of vision is shrunk. They're not really open to a lot of possibilities. If they are in a down-regulated state, that is a fancy way of saying calm, then they're in a much more observing stance. And often, just that change in stance is the key to experiencing a breakthrough. Okay, so that was breathing low and slow. Nice. Great. Okay. This is a shout out to Charlotte Mason. Yes, Charlotte Mason. This is like the only venue where that would happen. That's great. Charlotte Mason likes to say that there's no impression without expression. There's no impression without expression. That is to say, you already came out here and you did the calendar thing, and some of you did the babysitting thing and whatever. You will get the most out of this workshop the more you put into it. So there's going to be opportunities to do exercises, even if you're like on the introverted spectrum and it's kind of more your default stance is sort of like watch like the other people do it. Have some fun and jump in. The more you touch the thing and get your hands dirty, the more this stuff will stick and the more you'll be able to apply it in your own life. Okay, cool. So are we all good on the rules and the goals? Okay, let's have some fun. So we're going to, please flip your piece of paper over. And we'll start with an exercise. There's going to be three different sentences. It can be, write them all down. And you can say exercise number one somewhere on your piece of paper. And I advise writing these three sentences. You could have them in three columns. You want some space below the sentence. That's your sandbox, okay? So either give yourself some space between the sentences or have three columns where you're going to write these sentences that I'm about to say right now. You ready? Sentence number one. It's like he doesn't even hear me. Lisa smiling. It's like he doesn't even hear me. Okay, this is sentence number one. Thumbs up if you have that written down. Okay, cool. Sweet. Okay, cool. Sentence number two. Oh. Okay, and it's a wet marker. This is great. I don't like it when you do that. See, now I'm in pace with you. Great. Sentence number three. No one appreciates me. Okay, you can all close your eyes for this first one. Close your eyes and raise your hand if any of these sentences sound familiar. Cool. Okay, you can put your hands down. All right. We're all in good company. All right, so I'd like three volunteers, please. You can raise your hand. And we can go for a ride. Okay, I've got volunteer number one, volunteer number two, volunteer number three. Okay, Ken Dog. Okay, what was your name?
Matthew.
Matthew? Okay, so Matthew, Sarah Ann, and Ken. Okay, great. So I'm going to work with each person. As I'm doing that, please also follow along with your own writing. Okay? All right, Matthew, can you please read this sentence out loud?
I don't like it when you do that.
Okay, I don't like it when you do that. What does it feel like to say that out loud?
Frustrating.
Cool. Where do you feel the frustration? As in, where in your body do you feel it? That all answers are going to be right answers, by the way. Okay. Okay. Cool. If one is low, 10 is high in terms of intensity. What number is the shoulder feeling?
Two.
Two. Okay. Cool. Okay. Great. You're going to take your pencil, and I want you to strike out "don't." And we can replace it with do. And you can, you know, you're following along, you're writing along too, so like if you can't, you know, if the writing is hard to read or whatever, you just follow along your piece of paper. Go ahead and read this second version, please.
I do like it when you do that.
Did everybody hear the inflection on "I do like it"? Okay. That's the sound of openness. Okay, how does it feel to say that other version?
Open, flexible.
Does the open, flexible feeling, do you feel that somewhere in your body?
My eyes.
Cool, very cool. Does everyone see this last word? By the way, this is a kind of word which we'll talk about later, and this is a kind of word that we're going to talk about later, okay? What's your wife's name?
Regina.
What's something that you that Regina does that you like? Cool. I do like it when you send me pictures of the kids while I'm at work. Okay, now things start to get interesting. What is Regina? What are you feeling, Regina, when you hear that out loud? Very cool. Is that a nice feeling?
Yeah.
Very cool. I'm sorry, Matthew? Cool. Can you read this new version out loud?
I do like it when you send me pictures of the kids while I'm at work.
Cool. Take a full breath in. Full breath out. And stick a good old "because" at the end. And then fill in the blank. And actually fill in the blank in your writing, and then you'll say it out loud.
I do like it when you send me pictures of the kids while I'm at work because it feels like I'm there.
Cool. Great. We're going to move to the next sentence. The thing that we're kind of, again, right now feeling, we don't have to understand it right now. We're feeling, what is going on? How do we know what word to zone in on? And how do we know what word to replace it with? And why does a change in feeling follow from a change of words? Okay. Okay, great. Ken. Can you read this first sentence out loud?
It's like he doesn't even hear.
What does it feel like to... okay, let's change this up.
It goes either way.
Go ahead and read it out loud again.
It's like she doesn't even hear.
Okay. So, what does it feel like to say that sentence out loud?
Tiring.
Does the tiring feeling hang out somewhere bodily for you?
In the chest.
Okay, cool. Great. Everyone follow along too with your pencil, please. You're looking at it's like. You're going to... strike a line straight through it's like. And then you're going to reread.
She doesn't even hear.
What is that one like for you? What's the difference between the first one and the second one in terms of a feeling when you say it?
I'm in a truck and I'm driving towards a cliff. I'm in a truck and I jumped off the cliff.
Yeah.
First thing that came to mind.
Okay. Yeah. No. Every answer is the right answer. That's certainly a right answer. And what feeling do you feel as you're going off this cliff in the truck?
I'll let the back of my hair stand up.
All right. Great. Let's take your pencil. Find that word even and scratch out even. And then go ahead and read that version out loud.
Doesn't hear me.
What was it like to say that one out loud?
Neutral.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear the neutral sound when he said it? Part of what happened is he came down at the end. She doesn't hear me. Okay. The reverse, sometimes you'll hear this either in yourself or in other people. When someone comes up at the end of a sentence, there's some sort of either tension or uneasiness or uncertainty. When someone comes down, that's usually... neutral or certain. Okay? Okay, cool. Ken, thanks. By the way, for those who are writing along, there's not always a similar kind of emotional path, but sometimes there is. And I'm curious, could you give me a show of hands if your experience is roughly following Ken's with that one? And now I'm even more curious. Can you raise your hand if yours was very different from Ken's? Cool. Can you expand a little bit? What was it like, Alan?
Well, just on the last one, like, she doesn't hear me. That sounded like super depressed to me.
Yes.
Not neutral at all.
Yeah. And it, because it's very what?
Because it's very, like finite and certain, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
So part of what we're doing is we're sometimes we can put up veils between us and what's happening through the words that we use. And it makes sense that you would feel that because we're taking, there's two veils in this sentence, and we took one off And then we took the other one off, and now we're looking at this naked thing, right? And depending on what's going on and other variables, when you see that naked thing, you'll feel different things. But you'll certainly feel them clearer than you did before. Okay? Okay, cool. Great. Okay, let's look at this last one. Is there an eraser? Okay. Okay, Sarah Ann, can you read this sentence out loud, please?
No one appreciates me.
Okay, I can tell a little bit from the body language. What does it feel like to say this sentence out loud? Mm-hmm. Where do you feel the discomfort?
My shoulders and my back.
Shoulders and back? Okay. What does the discomfort feel like? What's the texture of it?
Warm. Throbbing almost.
Cool. Part of the reason why you're hearing me ask these same set of questions, everyone, and we might repeat them if we go into exercise two. The more you can name something, the part of what's happening is you take the thing from being you to you observing it. Okay, so when you can describe something, that's part of what is happening. There's more there, but that's... that's helpful. Okay, so in the shoulders and the back, a warm, throbbing feeling. Okay, great, cool. One is low, 10 is high. What's the intensity of it?
Five.
Okay, five, cool. By the way, any number she says, I'm going to say cool and go, because there's not every answer is the right answer. Okay, so we have this sentence. Scratch, this is for everyone, please. Scratch out no one. Scratch out the S at the end of appreciates. And at the beginning, put in I don't. And say that one out loud, please.
Appreciate me.
Very different kind of sentence. What does this one feel like compared to the first one?
Confusing?
You say confusing? Did anyone else feel confused when we switched it? It's a very different... sometimes it can feel like a 180. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Yeah. Cool. Let's hang out with that. Take don't. I'm going to write it down here so that we can stay with each other. Here's right now, even if we stopped right here, the one takeaway is the feeling changed. I don't care what direction the feeling goes or where it goes. It's at first we started with, what was that first emotion? Uncomfort? Okay, discomfort and now confusion. I don't care which ones they are. The what we're looking at is when you change the words, you change the feelings. Okay? Let's do another word change. Let's strike out don't and put in the word should. Okay, go ahead and read that one out loud.
I should appreciate me.
And what does the new feeling of this new sentence?
Resistance.
Cool. Resistance? Mm-hmm. Nice. Do you feel that somewhere in your body?
In my neck.
Okay, fun. Okay, so watch this. resistance in the neck. Change out should and put in could. Okay, read this one out loud.
I could appreciate me.
Okay. What's that feel like?
Optimistic.
Cool. Let's play with another one. Take out could, replace it with can. I'm seeing a difference in eyeballs, by the way, which is interesting. Yes, can you say this one out loud, please?
I can appreciate me.
Interesting. Okay. What does it feel like to say this sentence out loud?
Empowering.
Empowering? Okay. And where do you feel that that feeling of empowerment? That's when I know she's not just feeding me the expected answer. She says in her cheeks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this will be really fun. And this is just, you can write this, okay? When, if one is low and 10 is high in terms of intensity, what's the number for the empowerment feeling in your cheeks?
Four.
Okay, great. Does that empowerment feeling in your cheeks take you back to a particular moment or first moment in your life when you felt that? Cool. So that's a fun thing for you to have. You can write that down as a title, as if it was a chapter in a book. But now I actually want to make sure that you get the most out of this. Can you tell me the in one sentence the title you'd give it right now, if that's okay?
The title of the memory.
Okay, the only thing that I need to know and you need to know is that that means a specific thing for you, a specific moment. So like 2 weeks from now, if you see the memory in your notes from this, are you gonna know what it refers to?
Just ask me, or you give a title to the memory.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I see her.
Cool, and that means a particular moment or experience in your life that you would remember. Okay, cool. I see her. So we won't go into all the implications of this, and there's, if we get into exercise two, I'll show you what you can do with these kinds of stories. One thing that will make it a lot easier to cultivate the health of our mindset is when we get detailed about it. So a kiss of death, so to say, is emotions that feel very large, but like they're like put in this, what is the silly image that comes to mind? Like an essential oil diffuser. And they're just like everywhere and it's limitless. And where does it start and where does it stop kind of thing? The devil is in the details. So the more that you can particularize that emotion, the more you can get clarity in terms of its history. And in that history is going to be the meaning, which we'll get to in a second. And the meaning is driving the belief. Okay. Okay, cool. Sweet. So what in the world did we just do? You can flip your piece of paper back over. We just felt the effects of these four different word patterns. So across those three sentences were different word changes, and those represented or demonstrated these different categories. So number one, we're looking in the passenger seat column. So the words that we choose build up our language, both our external language and our internal language, what we say to ourselves in our head. Okay. And simplifying it, there's two different kinds of languages. There's a passenger seat kind of language, and there's a driver's seat kind of language. One combination or routine of words is going to, regardless of whether you want it to or not, put you in the passenger seat and make you feel like the like a non-playable character. Okay, I thought you'd like that, Ken. The other one is puts you in the driver's seat and opens you up to things that you to options. Okay. All right. So we're looking at row one, column two, passenger seat. Put in the word flimsy. So this first set of patterns is we can either use flimsy words or we can use formal words. By formal, I don't mean like formal attire at the ball. I mean words that have form to them. Okay? So when we looked at that next column exercise, you're saying what sentence was this type of word demonstrated in? Okay? And that one was demonstrated in the Ken's one. It's like he doesn't even hear me. So there's two patterns in this one sentence. The first one, when we changed it, we were moving from flimsy words to formal words. Sometimes that looks like just the removal of the flimsiness. Okay? So when we took out, it's like, and Ken felt it as like being in a truck to like being in a truck going off a cliff. That makes sense because the essence of this, or the meaning of this sentence became clearer once we removed some of the flimsiness out of it. Give me a thumbs up if you're with me so far. Okay, cool. Awesome. Sweet. Other like cousins of it's like is almost or sort of, I think, maybe, kind of. These are all different ways of, and there's a time and a place for subtlety in our speech. And it's more common that, at least if we're feeling indecisive or we're feeling like we don't have a stability about us, it's often in part because the language that we're using doesn't have a stability and isn't decisive. So it's creating that kind of feeling. Okay, here is another one. Even. So we took even out of the sentence. Even is, you can, in your chart, this is the second kind of words. And in the passenger seat, we call this pressure language, or words that create pressure. And the opposite of pressure words
is perspective, perspective words.
Trying to see if I can come up with one off the top of my head. That brunch was a total disaster. Okay, total disaster is pressure language. If we take out total disaster and put in that brunch was hilarious, that creates a very different kind of feeling and adds some perspective to that sentence. Okay, cool. With me so far? Great.
That's a question.
Yes, please.
So the last example with the flimsy words.
Yeah.
Did you say when you're feeling indecisive, it's because you were using flimsy language, not the other way around?
It can go either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so two things. Yes, exactly. So two things. Thing number one, please... I'm expecting and wanting and happy about questions. So Sarah Ann is asking a question. So that's thing number one, which is everyone else also please ask questions. Thing number two, and I think we'll have a Q&A at the end. Thing number two is what was the question? And the question was, which comes first, the feeling or the choice of words? And the answer is case by case, it depends. They can go either way, okay? So what I'm feeling will affect what words, or at least will influence what words I choose. And also, what words I choose will influence how I feel. Thank you for that question. Okay. This one's very fun. I won't write on the board to switch it up and make sure that you're taking good notes. Okay, so another sentence we had was, I don't like it when you do that. I don't like it when you do that. So that word don't at the very beginning, this is what we call shadow language. So it's the negative, it's the absence. That's what you don't like. What do you like? Pattern three. Passenger seat is shadow, the word shadow. Driver's seat, the word substance.
Go back, I missed number two.
Yes, number two. Number two was pressure in the passenger seat, perspective in the driver's. Thank you for asking.
It's like he doesn't
even hear you. So,
Sorry, Dad.
We make it harder for ourselves when we have the habit of speaking in the form of shadows rather than the substance of the thing. One close to home way this shows up is how we're speaking to our children. We don't talk like that in our family. Paints a great picture of what we don't do in this family. It fails to paint a picture of what we do in this family. Or don't interrupt me right now, doesn't set up the child for success. It doesn't doom them for failure, but it makes it harder, you know, rather than please go read a book in the sunroom. Okay? So that's the difference between shadowy words and substancey words. One is saying what's not. One is saying what is.
Could you take a look at it for my own
realization?
Yes, please. Is it carrying the carrot while using the stick?
Carrying the carrot while using the stick. And the carrot's like hidden?
Oh, I mean it in the sense of the stick is negative reinforcement to dissuade a bad thing or a bad action.
Yes.
Versus a carrot, which is something that is used to encourage a good action.
Yes, yeah, that's one way to say it, for sure.
But, like, if you say kids, it's like, you give a treat to reward good behavior or do something nice that's wanted versus a punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, this is one example. So, or affirming something rather than correcting something. Not to say that correction is bad. Okay, it's more: are we aware that we have two choices at any given moment, or are we always defaulting in a certain direction? And so, the problem is not even in the words, it's in the lack of awareness behind the use of the words. And often we want to express the other thing, but we're just defaulting to a pattern that we're used to, typically a pattern that we inherited. And so we're like two steps forward, one step back with our language. It's not limited to a parent-child relationship. It's can be your own relationship with yourself. It's like, I don't want to feel this way anymore. Doesn't set you up for, it doesn't create a path in your imagination, right? We were looking at that at the very top. Goal number three, learn about the four word patterns that affect your emotions. So that's kind of like what Sarah Ann was asking about. Imagination is that second one. So I don't want to feel this way anymore. Limits your field of vision and basically just redirects it to the thing that you don't want to feel. Right? Whereas, how do I want to feel? And if you put that into words, can create a very different kind of picture. Okay. And then the last one. No one appreciates me to I don't appreciate me. Sarah Ann was very generous to be the volunteer on this one. This is moving from outward language. So this is outward. That's a passenger seat pattern. Outward directing words to inward directing words. Outward versus inward. This one example might make you think this always goes in a certain direction, but it doesn't. Moving your word patterns to a more inward direction also can give you more ownership of things. So something like... I'm blanking on it. That was a great party. Feels very different than our party was really great. There you go, it came. That was a really great party. Feels very different than our party was very great. One is helping move the gaze of the imagination, and the imagination is going to affect the emotions. Back to who's the agent? Who created the thing? Or who facilitated the thing? Rather than experiencing the good thing from a third-person stance rather than a first-person stance. Here's a very subtle form. For those who like to journal a lot, sometimes you might write things like, you did a great job today. Or if it was a crummy day, it would be like, you really need to get things together. This is a very subtle form of using outward language rather than inward language. Talking about yourself in third person rather than saying, I really did a great job today, or I really need to get myself together. Okay, so there's lots of layers to this. The main thing is being aware that there are different patterns. And we're talking about four patterns today. One group of patterns puts us in the passenger seat. The other group of patterns puts us in the driver's seat. And passenger seat versus driver. Flimsy versus formal. Pressure versus perspective. Shadow versus substance. Outward versus inward. Okay, this sets the stage for us to have a workable definition of mindset. So you've got that little section below your chart. And here's our definition of mindset. Notice the inward framing of this definition. We're saying my mindset rather than mindset is blah, blah, blah. My mindset is the set of stories I keep in my mind. My mindset is the set of stories I keep in my mind. When you hear that, that should already click some things in. It's almost like the thing's right there, but it's like so close that we sometimes miss it. It's in the word itself. And we can break it down over these four points. So, point number one, what do we mean by stories? Stories equal words plus meaning. Part of what we're doing here is we are removing the esoteric vibe around the concept mindset or the word mindset. And sometimes it can feel like an atmospheric, well, it's really important, I'm going to work on it, but it's like, where even is the thing, right? Well, if it's really just the set of stories we keep in our mind, part of what makes that really cool, and by cool I mean workable, is that stories have a fixed nature. They're made up of words, and they carry a meaning. We already got a hint of the power of understanding that stories are made up of words because we're learning about these different patterns of words. Words can be changed if we know what kinds of changes serve us better. But what about meaning? Meaning as well doesn't have to be a atmospheric, it doesn't have to be your destiny. Okay? Another way to say that is meaning is made up of very specific things. So here are four things that create meaning. Meaning equals patterns. So we're talking about those word patterns by that word patterns. Patterns plus breath, as in how are you breathing? Is your breath low and slow, or is it high and tight up in your chest? Plus emotions. Plus senses. Physical sensations. Okay. Part of the reason why we're writing is because this is connects. Does this go in and out? One, two. Just went out. Okay, probably just because of battery? Okay, if it goes... Oh, I probably touched it. Okay, if it goes off again, I'll go sans mic. What was the last thing I was saying? Here we go. Senses. Oh, okay. So, We get an easier way of talking about it because we have a shared culture within Catholicism. Aquinas talks about the physical senses as being the material cause of our intellectual knowledge. So he says those physical senses are the material cause of the intellectual knowledge. That's a way of saying that everything that that shows up in your head has some sort of starting point in your physical senses. Aristotle says the same kind of thing in his book, Metaphysics, where he begins and says, all men desire to know. All men desire to know. And then you kind of wonder, like, well, how do you know that? Or, like, what's going to be your reasoning for that? And he says, we know this by the delight all men take in their senses. To the modern mind, that feels weird because we're used to imagining ourselves in this Gnostic dual state. But to the ancient mind and the medieval mind, the mind wasn't just the head. It was the person. Right? The person's involved. So we're seeing this because part of what creates the meaning or gives us access to the meaning is when we move the story from just being jammed up here in our head to literally making sense of it. And so part of that looks like touching it by writing. Part of it looks like seeing it. Now I can actually see the words that I'm speaking to myself. We don't have time to do it in this talk, but there's a resource which you can access for free, and I'll explain how to do that later, that goes into exercises of how to use speech with this so that we're also hearing it. And notice the handful of times where I asked the volunteer, where are they feeling? What's the texture of their feeling, right? So the more we incorporate our senses, the deeper we can understand, or the more we can see. So often someone's got some sort of emotion or an emotional pattern. A certain thing happens or a certain person says a phrase or speaks in a certain way, and it makes that person react very strongly. It's a big emotional spike, okay? That emotion has a history. And so you heard me use a question with Sarah Ann. When was the first time you felt that? Notice that we grounded her in questions like, what's the texture of the feeling? And where in your body do you feel that? Before I asked her to go back to memory lane, okay. If I had just said, think about that, it wouldn't have been as effective. Often, if we've got an emotional pattern that feels very negative and has a very strong spike or very slow and like it does ever move out of the way kind of speed to it, it is being driven by a specific meaning that you assigned using your best judgment at the time to a handful of experiences that you had when you were younger. And part of what's driving that meaning is a disconnection between those things that you're seeing next to meaning. It's what kinds of words do you use to express that meaning? Are they passenger seat kinds of words? How are you breathing when you look at the meaning? Are you allowing yourself to feel and observe the emotion, or are you in a defensive stance? And is it all just this intellectual exercise, like a Sudoku puzzle, or are you letting yourself interact with it as a whole person? So if you can bring these things in, often this thing that you were either scared terribly of or hurt terribly about If you know how to go back into it, you can not just consider a different meaning, but you can actually feel a different meaning. Okay, so we're breaking down the definition of mindset, and I've got my eye on the clock. We're landing. Mindset is a set of stories I keep in my mind. Stories are simply words plus meaning. A combination of words that are given meaning. By who? You. You are the keeper. So who's keeping these stories in mind? We are. We're the ones keeping them in mind. Which also means we're the ones who can keep other stories in mind. Part of what's available once you understand the mechanics of this is you can not only choose to keep different stories in mind, but you can become more aware of these other stories. So often, if we are, we can have a pattern of thinking about things in a certain way, and this can facilitate us seeing only a limited number of stories. You can expand that scope of stories, and then you can drill into the quote-unquote good stories. Okay, so the problem with the bad stories is they are too close to home. They're given more meaning than they actually had, and we repeat them unceasingly. The problem with the good stories is they're too far away. Now I'm blanking on it. I'm sorry. They're too far away. We barely talk about them, and we certainly don't take them to heart. We just, if we ever interact with them, we just think about them. So someone gives us a compliment and we shoot it off into the head. Oh yeah, anybody could do that. Or, yeah, I know, blah, 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 blah. Instead of receiving the thing, thank you, and letting that sink in, right? So usually the path of regenerating the health of your mindset looks like first daring to go look at the heavy, dark stuff in the eye, but doing it with keeping your breathing low and with an awareness of the power of words, and keeping it a sensorial activity, not just something stuck up in the head. And then you realize the thing doesn't actually matter as much, right? A good way to distill it down is if you can laugh at the devil, he'll run away. Okay. So once that's like phase one of regenerating the health. Phase two is, okay, if we only look here at the negative stuff, we're still doing this shadowy kind of work with our mindset and not giving it substance. So once you have some breathing room, because these negative stories no longer define who you are, you can turn around and be like, well, shoot, when were some times when I rocked it? When was a moment when someone said something to me that really meant a lot? When did someone do something very kind for me? And to not just think about those things, but to take them to heart through the incorporation of your senses. The writing the story out, the reading it out loud, reading it out loud slowly. I detailed that process in a set of podcasts that you can listen to if you're curious about how that works. Okay, so that was point number three under mindset. You're the keeper. We're the keeper. Point four is, what's the keeping? How does one keep a story in mind? And the keeping in mind is simply the assigning of meaning to that story and the repetition of that story. What are we telling ourselves that thing meant, and how often are we telling ourselves that meaning? Cool. Okay, so what is mindset? It's not this thing that we all need to work on but don't even know how to define. It's the set of stories we keep in mind. That's it. And stories are simply words plus meaning. And with a few tools in our belt, we can become the author of these stories. One of these tools is the patterns of words, so your chart, okay? Here's a great, we're transitioning to this bottom section of how to keep practicing this stuff. Where do you go from here? So, yes? Number three? Oh, thank you. The keeper, yeah, the keeper equals me. Yep, so again, it's like, because sometimes we think, well, if a thought's in our head, like, it must be true. Like, I'm thinking it, right? But if we realize there's a distinction between thoughts and self, that opens up possibilities. Okay, cool. Thank you, Lisa. All right, so how to keep practicing. Here's a really fun instance of changing a pressure pattern into a perspective pattern. And it's just focusing on one word. Focus on the word but. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I know you've been working really hard, but replace but with and. Replace but with and. It opens the whole feeling of the sentence up. It allows the person that you're speaking to actually hear what comes next. And it's very handy and simple. So look for it in your emails that you're writing or in your text messages that you're writing or what you're saying out loud or what you're saying inwardly. Look for instances of but and see where there's opportunities to replace it with and. Okay. So that is enough to, you know, keep busy or practice or whatever. If you want to dive into this deeper, there's a blank there, right? Deeper. Deeper is to fill in the blank there. If you email that to me, my email address is right there. It is andy@hel.co, not .com, co.co. Or my cell is there. You could text or email me. Then you've got a list on the right, bottom right, of what you can also study with or further resources that are available. So what we're doing tonight is part of a larger system. We can think of the soul. There's three powers of the soul, the intellect, the will, and the affections. We are basically hanging out in the affections right now from the channel of mindset. There's within HEAL, we teach a single method that is used to create organization in all three areas where the powers of the soul relate. So the intellect, the will, and the affections. What that looks like is a set of four behaviors that enable you to organize things like your mindset, which you would think is all the way over there, but also allows you to organize things which seem like they're all the way over here, which is like your time and to-dos and your calendar. And then up here, your emotions and intellectual interests. Okay, so we're getting one piece of this. If you want to explore that further, then there is a series of letters that I've written that detail the bigger picture that this relates to and also drills in more on mindset. There's audio clips of me facilitating this work with actual people, and you can, again, incorporate the senses into your learning of this. There's also a set of podcasts that go much deeper. They're each about an hour and a half long, more into the mechanics of words, the understanding of the nature of self, how we relate to that with our emotions, and again, includes live demonstrations of me facilitating mindset work with stories. We looked at it with sentences tonight. There's another way to do this with full stories, both negative and positive stories. Okay, cool. So if that's of interest, then either email or text me. And then closing thought, and then do a little Q&A. Do we have a little bit of time for Q&A or no? That's fine if we don't. Ish. Okay. Let's do the little bit of Q&A, and then we'll end with the closing thought. Okay. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, Liz. Well, so we could answer that in terms of the opposite feeling or opposite words. So perspective words are what create breathing room. It brings you from feeling cramped to like, oh. Often when I'm working with somebody and we found a sentence that has a lot of energy around it, and we take out a pressure word and we put in a perspective word, almost automatically, without me telling the person, they usually let out a big sigh. Okay? So that's like the feeling, that's the essence of those words. Often it can look like taking out a word that's turning up the temperature. So like we took out even. Actually is another word that usually turns temperature up. And then sometimes it's moderating something. So everyone thinks I'm crazy. So like that one person thinks I'm crazy. Feels very different. And that's another example of bringing in perspective language. Yep.
I have two questions.
Cool.
First is a joke. Okay, now do it all in Spanish. And then the second question is, to relate this to kind of a marriage situation.
Yes.
We're talking about descriptions. My narrative, my description, whatever. This is its own talk, but
yeah.
Can you talk about navigating competing descriptions?
Sure.
Because that's what we might call.
Uh-huh. Yeah, often... it's helpful to, if you're only playing at the level of words, then you're going to do this fire versus fire kind of thing. So it will sound very simple, but it's what comes afterwards when you do it that is helpful, which is focus, move your attention, especially when you're starting to feel like the tension's building up. Focus, bring your focus back to your breathing. Where in the world am I breathing? And one particular thing is just extend your exhales. If you focus on that one thing, extending your exhales, that's going to down-regulate your body. That's going to open up your field of vision, otherwise known as being able to understand the other person's perspective rather than immediately judge it. And that helps the dialogue happen. Cool. We do one more question if there's a... yes, Ken.
Pattern number four, outward versus inward. When you said that, it made me think of internal versus external locus of control.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. That's another way of saying it. And that's another way of describing, like at a macro level, passenger versus driver's seat. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very cool. Yes, please. Yeah.
Just so that we don't have to bother you with the email or texting, is there just some website or some place where we can access some of these?
Yeah, so our... Well, they're not consolidated. So actually, it'll save me time and you time if you text me, because then I can send you one link that has all the stuff like in a checklist format. Like,
okay.
So it's like you don't have to go hunting.
Okay.
But our website is heal.co, H-E-L.co. In all honesty, it's not that we haven't done a good job of centralizing like the educational resources there. If you go there, you'll be able to start reading the letters that I mentioned, which are very good. But things like the podcast series, we're working on bringing that together into one kind of like, here's a checklist of things that you can learn. Whereas we do have that, but not on our website. So I can send that to you in that way. Yeah. Also, if you search my name, Andy Hickman, on podcasts and like emotions or mindset, you'll find some stuff. Yes. I'm very different than any Hickman. So someone texted me and was like, dude, I saw you on Matt Frad. And I was like, no. They said, Matt Frad gave you a really big shout out on his podcast. I was like, we're going to, like, the ceiling's broken. Like, we're going to go to the Bahamas. And, like, I'm going to check my email. And it's going to be, like, 5,000 emails. And he's like, yeah, just listen to this one clip. And it's Matt Frad. And he's like, yeah, I love Annie Hickman. He's just such a great guy. I was like, dang it. That's Annie Hickman, not Annie Hickman. Okay, cool. So let's end with these two quotes. So the first is helping us integrate what we played around with Scripture. So I'm going to be reading from Ephesians 4. Verses 17 through 32, and you can simply listen. Again, I can, if you send me your contact information, I can send you these full quotes. This is Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. We can appreciate the words better after practicing some of this stuff tonight, and then we'll further contextualize that scripture quote with another one. Okay, so Ephesians 4. Context is St. Paul is talking about what did it mean when Christ ascended into heaven? And the short of it, we could distill down to when Christ ascended, he wasn't leaving us, he was leading us. He was bringing us us closer to the Father, or making a opening up the access to participate in the divine nature. So, and then he says the following. Now, this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienating from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. So notice the connection between the mind and the heart that St. Paul is making. They have become callous and have given themselves up to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of uncleanliness. You did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Put off the old man that belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new man created after the likeness of God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may be able to give those in need, give to those in need. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. St. Paul means that not just in our external speech, but also in our thoughts. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So St. Paul helps us understand that part of this is rooted in our heart, and the heart, the mind is rooted in the heart. And so we can channel that through our speech, or we can express that through our speech. The consideration is, okay, we can do that for others. Sometimes it's very easy to do that and then miss this. Okay, so what about this imparting of grace and edification and tenderheartedness and forgiveness to neighbor? Yes. And also we'll close with this quote. This is from Carl Jung. To accept oneself as one is may sound like a simple thing, but simple things are always the most difficult things to do. In actual life, to be simple and straightforward is an art in itself requiring the greatest discipline. While the question of self-acceptance lies at the root of the moral problem and at the heart of a whole philosophy of life. Is there ever a doubt in my mind that it is virtuous for me to give alms to the beggar, to forgive him who offends me, yes, even to love my enemy in the name of Christ? No, not once does such a doubt cross my mind, certain as I am that what I have done unto the least of my brethren, I have done unto Christ. But what if I should discover that the least of all brethren, the poorest of all beggars, the most insolent of all offenders, yes, even the very enemy himself, that these live within me, that I myself stand in need of the alms of my own kindness, that I am to myself the enemy who is to be loved. What then? Then the whole Christian truth is turned upside down. Then there's no longer any question of love and patience. Then we say raka to the brother within us. Then we condemn and rage against ourselves. For sure, we hide this attitude from the outside world, but this does not alter the fact that we refuse to receive the least among the lowly in ourselves with open arms. And if it had been Christ himself to appear within ourselves in such a contemptible form, we would have denied him 1,000 times before the cock crowed even once. All right, thank you so much, guys.